I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show. Today we have Jane Teresa Anderson. She is host of the podcast series called The Dream Show, and she analyzes guests, shares their dreams, and looks at their interpretations and gives them tips and insights. And her podcast started around 2009 and continues to grow rapidly at a rate one episode at a time every month. So, Jane, can you kind of give me a bit of a summary about who you are, what you're about, and what your message is?
So my name's Jane Teresa Anderson. I'm a dream analyst, a dream therapist, the author of 7 books on dreams and dreaming. I have a podcast show, The Dream Show, with Jane Teresa Anderson, which has been going for 13 years. I think we're up to 250 episodes or something like that. We have them once a month. And I mostly work with people by Zoom or by phone internationally, helping them to understand their dreams. So my message really is that your dreams are not nonsense. They're not new. They are meaningful. And your dreams reflect your waking life experiences, both your conscious and your unconscious experiences. So what you get when you know how to look into a dream is you get an understanding of your mindset, your conscious and your unconscious mindset. So you can begin to see why you experience life in the way that you do. So if there are things about life that aren't going too smoothly for you, often the answer is in the mindset. And so by looking at your dream, you can find out what needs to be changed in order to change your waking life experiences.
What is a dream?
So what happens when you're dreaming is that your dreaming mind or your brain is processing the last 1 to 2 days of all your conscious and unconscious experiences to try to make sense of your life. And then if there's something that's happened in the last 1 or 2 days that kind of resonates with something in your past, then you may get flashes of your past come up in your dream too. So the idea is that your dreaming mind is updating. Think of it a bit like updating the software on your computer. It's updating your beliefs and your feelings and your perspectives and your thoughts about the world. Ideally presenting you so that when you wake up in the morning, you've got an updated mindset and a better way to deal with life or with your problems or solutions. Now, the first thing that most people will think instantly is my dreams look nothing like the last 1 or 2 days. My dreams do not look like my experiences. And the reason for that is that the part of the brain that is really more rational and more logical, that kind of edits the way that we think, which is the prefrontal cortex, is mostly asleep while we're dreaming, really sort of knocked out of it. And it's left to the rest of our brain or our mind to kind of image or picture this processing that's going on. So I like to liken it to imagine you've got a painter and he's painting a picture and it's a surreal picture. And it's just a one freeze frame picture, and it's got to capture all the emotions and the feelings and the experiences of the last couple of days and capture them in that sense of a picture. Our dreams work in the same way. It's kind of like a capture of the feel of what we're processing and what we're experiencing rather than a logical step-by-step process, which is why you then need tools and techniques to be able to look at the dream and say, okay, it's not what it seems. Let's work backwards through this and see what's actually happening in the mindset. The interesting thing is that when you see something in a dream, the part of your brain that is doing the seeing is the same part of your brain that's doing the seeing in waking life, the same for hearing, the same for taste, the same for touch, the same for smell. So this is why your dream seems so real, because it's the same part of your brain actually lighting up.
Why did you start the Dream Academy?
Well, I've been working in dreams as a professional in dream work for nearly 30 years now. And as part of that process, for the last 20 years, I was training people to become dream therapists. So most of that training would take place either in Brisbane, Australia, which is where I lived at the time, I don't now, or it would take place internationally with them over the phone. I'm sorry, I've got a bit of a sore throat today. So about 4 years ago, I thought, phone is old. let's actually sit down and create an online learning platform where people can go, and I can put not only put all the resources and methods that I use to train people to be dream therapists, I can also extend on that, and I can also offer courses for people that don't want to be a dream therapist but do want to be able to interpret and understand their dreams without consulting someone like me. So it was really interesting process to go through. I had to really not only, of course, draw on all my tools and techniques that I've developed over the 30 years, but I had to find ways to present those so that people could work through them on their own. So that was 4 years ago that we launched that. Obviously, I had a lot of help with launching the creation of the technical platform itself, because it was one designed specially for me and for this. And when people go to that, there are a series of videos of me talking and taking you through the step-by-step processes of interpreting your dreams. And there's also charts to download, other notes to download. And you basically take it for the first course, how to interpret your dreams step-by-step. You download the dream interpretation chart, you watch the videos, you listen to the content, and I take you through your dream and then say, okay, so now you know, now you've looked at this dream, you've applied this technique, this part of the dream, write your answer to that under question one on your chart, you know, and then the next and so on. So in the end, they've got a chart filled in, which is actually their interpretation of the dream. So you can then go through the course as many times as you like with all sorts of dreams. But of course, eventually a person becomes so practiced that they don't actually need me talking them through it, and they don't need to download the dream interpretation chart. They've got the tools and techniques for themselves. So that's the first course, and there are various courses through that. So we've now got students from a huge number of countries, some 20 or 30 different countries across the world, across most of the continents, are now studying there. And one of the things, you know, you asked, why did I set it up? Another reason I set it up was because there's only one of me. If people want to learn my techniques, there's only one of me. And there's only so many times I can train people one-on-one or in small groups. Whereas this is a way of saying, here it is. You don't need me. You can do this at your own pace, in your own time, and it lives on without me. So that was what I really wanted to be able to do, to kind of take me out of the picture, but give the methods and tools so people could learn to do this by themselves, and therefore benefit from what they learn about themselves through their dreams and the changes that they can make as a result of that. So I've got another course called Dream Alchemy, which goes into the processes by which there's step one, interpret the dream, and maybe you identify a limiting belief or something that needs to be healed or something about your mindset that could be changed. So that's the dream interpretation. And then there's a second process, which I call Dream Alchemy, which is doing exercises using the symbols of your dreams. So I'll give you an example at the moment, but these exercises include visualization, it might be writing, it might be affirmation, it might be artwork, it might be body work. And what you're essentially doing is working with the symbols which have come from your own unconscious mind in your dream to transform and change them. So the idea by doing the Dream Alchemy practices is that you change or rewire your brain, or change your unconscious, reprogram your unconscious mind so that those limiting beliefs or things that need to be healed are shifted and changed, and your life works out better for you. So to give a really simple example, if you dream of driving your car and you're driving along and you turn right and you think you know where you want to go and you end up in a dead end lane, there's a block at the end and you can't get through and you're really frustrated. You can't take a dream dictionary approach to interpreting dreams. You work through them yourselves. But that kind of dream might mean that somewhere in life, it's like, I've taken this turn, I've taken this right turn, something I think is right to do, but I keep meeting these blocks. I'm just getting blocked and I don't understand why. So in that example, you might think, you might say, yeah, that's actually how I'm feeling. I can understand why I've had that dream. That's exactly how I've been feeling in life. And I'm feeling so blocked and I don't know what to do about it. I don't know what's blocking me. Now, if you're looking at a really complex dream, I would be able to work through it and see, as a person who had done the courses, would actually identify what the block is. But just for this simple example, the Dream Alchemy exercise might then be waking up, closing your eyes, imagining yourself back in the dream. And this time, here you are in your car, you turn right, and there is no block. And you just keep driving. And as you keep driving, you summon up this emotion of feeling really good and elated and confident, whatever the emotions are that you would like to have driving towards this goal. Now, that sounds really simple, and it is. But what happens is, because when you're doing that visualization, you're telling your unconscious mind, which came up with the symbol of car and block, you're speaking its own language. You're saying, no car, no block. And so you're actually reprogramming that limiting belief you've got, perhaps, that there is always going to be a block in front of you. And what you will find out when you do this kind of thing, and what people report back to me over and over again, is that they'll wake up and over the next few days, they'll say things like, you know, I don't know how it happened. It kind of felt magical, but I was in this situation and suddenly there wasn't any block anymore. Or suddenly it felt like doors were opening for me. Or suddenly I said something that was not the kind of thing that I would normally say. So they actually witness within themselves a change in behavior or a change in perspective, even though consciously they didn't make it. They didn't say, I'm going to go out today and life is going to be different. But the change was made at the unconscious level. So that's also a course that's available at the Dream Academy.
So how can I remember my dreams?
Do you remember your dreams?
Most of the time, yes.
Yeah. Some people remember most of their dreams. Some people remember none of their dreams. And a lot of people say, I never dream. Now, it's not true that you don't dream. People that think that they don't dream, it's just that they don't recall their dreams, because you can actually get people to sleep, but stop them from dreaming. There are ways to do that in the lab. And you're not very healthy physiologically, mentally, emotionally. You get very sick within a few days. So we know that everybody dreams. It's just not that everyone remembers them. So there are some good techniques. There are some drastic ones. The drastic ones include drinking so much water before you go to sleep that you're going to have to wake up to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night. Now, we tend to wake up just after a dream. So that catches you at that moment. Oh, I've just come out of a dream. I'm tending to wake up. I've got a really full bladder. I need to go to the bathroom. As you walk down to the bathroom, what was happening there? Just trying to grab some small detail. That's dramatic, because you wouldn't want to do that every night, but that can be done. Another technique, and this is really a good one, is that most people don't remember their dreams because either because they've been told as a child, don't worry, it's only a dream, you don't need to remember those things, and so you click that off. That's one reason. But another reason is that we often get out of bed too quickly. Alarm goes off, gotta get up, gotta get on with the day. Or we wake up and get out the phone and start scrolling or start thinking about what we've got to do in the day, and we miss the opportunity to sort of bring back the dream. So a good technique that a lot of people find helpful is to have two alarms. If you've got to get up with an alarm, have one alarm that's going to go off at the time you've actually got to get out of bed, and the other alarm go off about 10 or 15 minutes before that. So when the first one goes off, partly, you know, it's okay, I don't have to wake up properly, the other alarm's going to go off, and try to move your body into the position that you think you dream in. There's some kind of body memory there. And then don't sort of, if you start to think, I've got to remember all my dreams, start to go into panic mode, there's no way you'll remember it. But if you just lay there and think, it would be really nice if I just remembered a feeling, or maybe one symbol, or just one tiny little thing from the dream, so you're kind of nice and relaxed. And in that frame of mind, you often do remember one little thing. And then sometimes you can trace that back and forth. So your one little thing might be, I was in a forest. Oh, what happened before? I walked into the forest. Oh, what happened after the? Oh, yes, I saw a little house. So you can begin to build it up in those ways. And the third tip that I would give, there are many more, is that the more that you read about the importance of dream work, or the value of dream work, or listen to things like this, I guess, Jimbo, then you value your dreams, and that you kind of build that expectation. It's valuable. I want to remember them. And so you tend to do them. Have a piece of paper by the side of your bed, write down anything that you remember, capture it before it evaporates.
Another thing, why do dreams feel so real?
Why do dreams feel so real, did you say? A little bit because of what I said before about the area of when you're looking at something in a dream, it's the same area of your brain that is working and lighting up as is working when I'm looking around here now. So as far as your brain is concerned, it's actually happening. And that's why you feel it so real on every level. And also because that prefrontal cortex that I talked about earlier, the kind of editing part of the brain, is switched off, there's no part of you that says, this can't be real because tigers don't fly, or this can't be real because I don't know this person. So there's no kind of editing function that says, no, no, this isn't real. So because you're sensually immersed in it, and often because the emotions are so strong, you actually believe it's real, because as far as your brain and your mind are concerned, it is real, which then leads you to really interesting questions. Because if you're in a dream and it feels so real, and when you're dreaming, you don't normally know that you also have a waking life, the dream is real. You're traced by the tiger. It's really important to escape this tiger because it's going to kill you. It's not till you wake up and go, it was a dream, I'm okay. When you're in the dream, it's real. So you can then say, okay, in this waking life where you and I are talking here and people are listening and watching, is this real? How real is this? Is this, it feels really real. Is it as real as the dream? Are we going to wake up from this? Is there going to be another reality? So it does help you to question what you are sensing around you, and to be aware that even on a simple level, we all have our illusions about life. You know, we all have our beliefs, and what we see and experience around us is coloured by what we think and imagine about life. So it questions those things about us. Now, you can, some people can, and I don't know whether you have done this, that some people can actually wake up in a dream and stay in a dream, and that's called lucid dreaming. So what happens there is you're in the middle of the dream, you're being chased by the tiger, it's totally real, you're totally convinced by this reality, and all of a sudden some small part of you says, hang on a minute, this is a dream. And at that moment, you sense two realities. This part of you knows you're in the dream, and it still feels totally real, but you know it's a dream. And this part of you knows that you're asleep in bed, and that you have a consciousness coming in here, and you play with these two realities at the same time. And what some people do then, and what actually most people do then, is go, okay, this is a dream. I can do anything I like. And most people at that point take off and fly. And because it feels real, you actually get to discover what lifting your body off the ground and flying actually feels like. And if you've had those kind of experiences, once again, it feeds back into that interesting question that, you know, once you wake up, that leaves you questioning, well, what is reality? How many times am I fooled by my reality? What are my illusions here?
Very interesting. Why are dreams so symbolic?
As I said earlier, it's because that part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, which normally edits our thoughts, is switched off. So because therefore your dreams don't appear logical, and it's left to the rest of your brain to kind of grab, like I described earlier with the painter painting the picture, it's left to the rest of your brain to kind of paint a picture of this. And that's where it comes up with surreal. It's like, it's not logical. It can't think. It can't reason. It comes up with a feeling for it. So just like I mentioned earlier, that feeling of the car and the blocked street. Obviously, in life, you're not a car. It's you going about life, but you're feeling blocked. But your brain is thinking, yeah, it kind of feels like driving up like when you're driving a car and you come against the block. Or it might be, you know, even more surreal than that. It might be, well, it still takes something really simple. You might find an egg that's cracking open and you're really excited about it. And so it would not be hard for you or I or people listening in to think, oh, if I can guess what that is. It's probably something new in your life that is hatching and coming out. But that's your brain's best grab at trying to get us a picture of what's happening for you in life. But that said, never, ever use a dream dictionary, because dream dictionaries are going to lead you completely up the wrong path. The symbols that our unconscious mind comes up with come from our own personal experiences. They're not from some universal dream dictionary that we can pick. So if you dreamt of an egg cracking open, one person might say, oh, yeah, it feels like something's hatching in my life. There's a new beginning. And another person might say, oh, no, it feels like something really precious is broken. And somebody else might work as an egg farmer and it might relate it to work. So there are all sorts of interpretations. You have to take those surreal symbols and work out what they mean in your own life. And that's another thing that people learn when they do my courses at the Dream Academy. They learn the different tools and techniques for taking one of their dream symbols and finding out what it actually means in their own life.
What are a few common dream symbols that tend to be similar for everyone?
Yeah, that's a good question. So rather than dream symbols, let's look at dream themes that tend to be common for a lot of people. So, for example, A lot of people dream of losing their teeth. So rather than saying, what does the tooth symbol mean? Let's say, what does the theme of losing your teeth mean? Because, yeah, because people will have all sorts of variations of it. Some people will say, I dream I open my mouth and all my teeth fall out and I can't speak. And other people will dream and say, oh, I looked in the mirror and I noticed one tooth was missing. So there'll be variations on. So the theme is losing teeth rather than looking up. So again, it's one of the most common dreams. And a lot of people would look up a dream dictionary, but again, you can't really do that. So we're just talking general terms here. If you go back to the feeling of the dream rather than the symbol. So that first example I gave, when someone says, I dreamt I opened my mouth to speak and all my teeth fell out and I felt really embarrassed and I couldn't say what I wanted to say, then that dream is probably either about a situation in the day or two before where you did say something and your words tumbled out and you just wished you could have put them back in again, like the teeth. You can't take back what you said and you're really embarrassed. Or it could be also in a similar vein, it could be that you are actually frightened of opening your mouth and speaking because you're frightened of what you might say and not be able to take back. So the dream can reflect either of these things. So it's really looking at the feeling of the dream. So that's one common dream theme. Another common dream theme is running from something that's chasing you. So it could be a monster, it could be a person, it could be something totally surreal and bizarre. But the essence is that you are not looking at this thing, you are running and running and running because you are scared stiff. So again, everyone's dream will be different, but generally what this theme usually means is that in waking life, there's something you're scared of facing. And instead of turning around and facing it, which we all know when you turn around and face a fear, it's never as bad as you think. There are ways to come to terms with it and resolve it. This dream will come up when I'm not looking at that, I'm frightened of this, I'm running as fast as I can. But as the dream shows, you can never outrun a fear. It always comes with you. So if I were giving a dream alchemy practice for that, I would say to the person, wake up, close your eyes, imagine yourself back in the dream. And here's this, you're running from this thing that's frightened, and then you stop. And because you're not asleep, you're visualizing, you can say to yourself, I'm safe. This is a visualization. I'm safe to do this. And you imagine yourself turning around and facing this thing that's chasing you. Only you change it from something scary into something lovely. And it can be anything. So if it was a scary monster chasing you, you might turn around and see it as a fluffy dog or a beautiful bird or someone you love. An angel, anything, as long as you transform it from something scary to something full of love. And what this does by doing that practice, that exercise while you're awake, is it's teaching and reprogramming your unconscious mind or rewiring your brain to say, if there's something frightening in life, don't run from it, turn around and face it, see the best in it, because when you do turn around and face it, you can cope with it, you can do this, you can overcome it. And I'll pick one more dream theme. There are lots of common dream themes. And one of my books, which is called The Dream Handbook, which is published by Hachette in Australia and published by Little Brown Piatkis in the UK, for example, I've written a lot about common dream themes there. So one more to pick would be, one that scares a lot of people, Jimbo, is death dreams. So people might dream of themselves dying, or they might dream of someone they love dying, or they might dream of an animal dying or a tree dying. So the overall theme here is that something beautiful is coming to an end. So again, we would look at all the other details of what's happening in the dream to really work out what's happening. But usually this kind of dream will come up when the person is either coming to the end of something in life, not end of life itself, but the end of something, or prematurely coming to the end of something. So an example might be you've been studying a course for 3 or 4 years, you're coming to the end of it. You've actually really enjoyed it. You don't want to give up life as a student. You really would rather stay there, but you can sense that this time in my life is coming to an end. So you might have a dream where something is dying, and it's really helping you to see that sometimes, you know, things come to an end, and after death comes a new beginning, comes a birth. So it helps us to, if it's things in life that we've been holding on to too long, it helps us to let go of those so that we can birth something new. Often that will be death of an old attitude, death of an old way of being in order to birth a new attitude or a new way of being. And sometimes these dreams alert us that we may be killing off something too soon. So if I go back to the idea of being a student doing a course, maybe you're on a 3-year course and after 1 year you think, I can't do this anymore, I really want to give this up. I just can't do it. I want to give it up. And you might have a dream where you're killing something off And then you might think, yeah, that's kind of like me killing off my course. And that might send you back to rethink. And you might still decide, no, look, I'm actually ready to see the end of that and start something new. Or it might set you thinking, actually, maybe that's not what I want to do. Maybe I want to rebirth my attitude to my course or rebirth the ways in which I learn and study so it can help you in that way. And just before we leave that topic, the thing that really frightens a lot of people, understandably, is if you have the dream where someone you love is dying or is sick or is ill. And often those dreams will seem not to be so surreal. They will seem to be like everyday life. And so people can obviously get really panicked and will often phone the person, are you well? Are you okay? Is there anything I can do? Or other people say, I've previewed that you're going to die. Please don't get on a plane. Please don't get in the car. Don't get on a train. But really, these dreams are largely about ourselves. So again, you come back to that feeling of, even though it was someone else that was dying in your dream, what you would do then, say the person dying in your dream was someone called, let's give her a name, Jill, and you see Jill dying in your dream, then you would say to yourself, okay, what does Jill represent to me? What's her personality? What's her approach to life? And you might decide, well, Jill's a real, she's always on the go. She's always doing this. She's always doing that. She's always doing the other. She's really excited. She's run, 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 do, do, do. She's going to get exhausted one day. And you see Jill die in your dream. It may be because it's a part of yourself. There's a bit, run, 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 do this, do that, do that. You're getting exhausted. It's good. I've got to put an end to that. That is not the way to go. Put an end to that attitude, pull it back, get my life more in balance.
And what about reoccurring dreams?
Oh, that's a really good question, yeah. So now that you know that dreams are largely processing the last 1 to 2 days of our conscious and unconscious experiences to try to make sense of them, it means every time we have a recurring dream, it's because there's a recurring life issue. Every time this comes up in my life, I have this dream. Every time this comes up in my life, I have this dream. So if you've got a recurring dream, one good question is to say to yourself, when did I first have this dream? And you might say, I think I first had this dream about 10 years ago. So you go, what was happening for you 10 years ago? And you might go, there was a big change in my life 10 years ago. I moved from here to there or something. And then you say what issues came up for you at the time, what challenges were there, what problems, what feelings. When this feeling comes up in your life now, perhaps you're revisiting that kind of feeling. So in that example of moving from one place to another, maybe you moved to a new town and you felt lonely or it was difficult to meet new people. Then in your life now, whenever you hit that feeling of I feel a bit lonely, it's difficult to meet new people, you might have that same dream come up. That's just a simple example of it. Of course, when you learn how to interpret your own dreams, for example, doing my courses or whatever, you can actually look at the recurring dream, find out what it means, and then do your dream alchemy exercise to transform it, to change it, so that the waking life issue that keeps coming up, you actually change and transform by doing the dream alchemy exercise and it goes away, you move on past it. But I always say to people, if you're interested in looking at your dreams and understanding them and you have a recurring dream, start with that one, because that recurring dream is telling you that there is an unresolvable recurring life issue that it will be really, really good to sort out. Because those recurring dreams, some of them are really happy, but most recurring dreams end in a problem. It's like you're frustrated because you can't solve something in the dream, or you can't get somewhere, or you can't find something, or something always goes wrong. And so that's reflecting in life a similar thing. There's a similar waking life issue where you can't quite get somewhere, things keep going wrong. So understand that dream, understand what it is that's blocking you, what's making that happen. Do the dream alchemy exercise to change that and shift it, and you resolve that waking life issue and you're free to move on. So understanding a recurring dream is a really, really good place to start.
What is a nightmare versus a dream?
Yeah, a dream. So a nightmare is a form of dream. Technically, it's a dream. But the main difference that we feel is when you have a nightmare, obviously, it's a scary dream. You're really, really frightened. And that's what wakes you up. And you go, oh, it's a nightmare. So when you feel fear in a dream, your body actually releases fear hormones. So the adrenaline gets released into your actual body. the same as stress and the same with anxiety. If you have a stressful dream or an anxious dream or a fearful dream, your body gets flooded with the fear, stress and anxiety hormones. So that's why your heart starts pounding, why you get goosebumps, the hairs stand up on your goose flesh on your arms, why you maybe feel frozen. And so, and that it's that jolt to your system, that flush of hormones that actually jumps you out of your dream, and then you're awake. Less than that, you're not only awake, you woke straight out of the dream, so that's one dream you will remember, but also you can feel the fear in your body. And that's where a lot of people can think, there's something in the room, there's something really, really creepy going on. But it's not, it's just that your body responded in the dream. So again, if you have common recurring nightmares, that's also a really, really good place to start in interpreting and understanding your dreams, because it's helping you. Those dreams are obviously about something you're fearful of or anxious about or stressed about in life. So if you can get into those dreams, they help you to understand why you have those fears, why you're finding them difficult to come to terms with, or why you get so stressed or why you get so anxious. So that you can then learn what to do to become less fearful, to face your fears, to become less stressed, to become less anxious. So although they're scary to have nightmares, they're dreams of gold, really, because if you work with them, they gift you such treasures to open up your life.
So can watching a scary movie before bedtime give you
good question. Yes and no. the same as watching any movie, even a non-scary one, or reading a book, or having a conversation, or looking at a piece of art. Any of these things can come into our dreams. So because our dreams process our experiences of the last 1 to 2 days, if you like horror movies and you watch a scary movie, yeah, that was really good, really enjoyed that, I like to get a bit spooked, then your dream probably won't process it, because it's like, yeah, there's nothing needs processing in that. She was happy watching the movie. But if there's something in the movie that it was more than scary, it actually reminds you of something that you're frightened of in life, then yes, your dreaming brain will go, okay, there was that thing in that scary movie yesterday that reminds me of something scary in my life. And my dream is going to use the symbol of that scary movie to help me understand the thing that it brought up in my life. So it's the danger is to say, especially to a child, oh, don't worry, you know, that was just that thing you watched on TV last night. That was just that scary movie. That was that scary story we read you. Don't worry about it. Actually, it is worth not worrying about. It's worth interpreting and understanding and working with, because your dreaming mind is processing what it brought up for you. So it's always what it brings up for you. And if it brings up something for you that needs to be processed and dealt with, it will come up in your dream.
And can dreams work to solve your problem?
Yes. So in an ideal world, some of our dreams, actually, you'll take to bed a problem or an issue, and your dreaming mind, again, is processing your recent experiences. So if you've got a problem on your mind, your dreaming mind, say you're a more uplifting problem. You're a songwriter, you're writing a song. You just can't get the last verse, can't get the theme for the last verse. You go to sleep, your dreaming mind is processing your experiences of the last 1 to 2 days. And these include this really annoying song that you really wish that you could get the last verse written for. So your brain and your dreaming mind is going to try to find a solution to this. Now, ideally, our dreams do find solutions to everything. Just in actual fact, they often don't. And I'll explain why that is in a minute. But sometimes they do. And that's why you can literally sleep on a problem like that and wake up with the last verse in your mind, because your dreaming mind has been able to come up with a solution. And so our dreams can also resolve other problems in our life for us. If you hit that magic moment while your brain is doing the processing of yesterday, and some part of your brain, your mind goes, I've got it. This is the solution. Wake up and you've got it. And some people can even wake up and not remember the dream, just wake up and go, oh, I've got a really good idea this morning, or that thing that's been bothering me for years, I suddenly know how to deal with it, and that can be the result of the dream. But unfortunately, a lot of our dreams don't effectively problem solve, and that's usually because we've got blocks from earlier in our life. So an example for that would be if you had an experience yesterday where you were trying to achieve something, and ideally your dream would solve the problem of how to achieve that goal. But in fact, your dreaming mind might go and say, you know, this feeling of not being able to achieve something, it's like when you were 3 and you couldn't do this. It's like when you were 10 and you felt let down at school. It's like when you were 15 and you didn't do this. So your dreaming mind will bring up all these things in the past. And then sometimes instead of the dream solving the problem of what your immediate problem is, it'll say, so you see, you're just the kind of person that doesn't get your goals. Things always go wrong for you. So our dreaming brain will often decide, instead of believing the evidence in front of you that you can do this thing, it will decide that all the things that you learned earlier in your life about yourself are more true, more concrete, and so it won't resolve the problem. So in other words, our dreams will often override our recent experiences by saying, no, remember what your mum told you, remember what your dad told you, remember what your school teacher told you, remember those experiences in your past. Those are the key beliefs in your life. That's you, not what your recent experience is. And that's why it's then really good to be able to interpret your dreams and say, that's all that's happening. Let's change that view that you've got of yourself, that you can't, and let's change all that around so that you can. So if the dream doesn't solve the problem itself, by interpreting the dream and working with it, you solve it.
Are there any great people that have solved problems through dreams that you know of?
Probably you, me, all of us great people listening. Everybody has resolved small problems and things without even realizing it. But there are some famous examples. So one practical one that springs to mind, and other people might have heard about, is the guy. His name was Elias Howe, who I forget how long ago, maybe 150 years ago, was inventing the sewing machine. And he was trying to find a way to effectively get the thread to get into the fabric and sew it. And he was kind of stuck at that. And he had a dream, talk about surreal. He had a dream where he was on a desert island and he was surrounded by people with spears, thumping their spears on the ground. And he was in a cauldron, a hot cauldron. They were going to boil him and eat him alive. And as he was there about to die this terrible death, he noticed that these spears all had a little hole in the top of each one. And he woke up and said, that's it. That's what's missing in the sewing machine. I need to put a hole in the needle. If I put a hole in the needle, the cotton thread will thread through. And when you do it, it will sew into the circle. So you know, his dream not only gave him the idea, but in effect, now that we know a little bit more about death dreams, for example, his dream was saying, this will be the death of me. This is the end of me. If I can't work out this problem of how to create a sewing machine that works, I might as well, my life is over. But luckily, some part of himself gave that example. Another example was a chemist, and I think his name was Kukuli. He was a German chemist. And he was trying to work out the molecular structure of a chemical that was really important. It was a benzene ring. And for whatever reason, he'd been struggling with this for a very long time and he just couldn't work it out, couldn't work out how all the bits fitted together to explain or help him in the next process. And he dreamt of a snake and the snake turned around and swallowed its own tail. So it went from being a straight line snake to an endless circle of a snake. And when he woke up, he looked at the pattern that he had set down for the molecular structure, which was kind of like this. And he realized that if he took this end and joined them together, he actually had the correct molecular structure for benzene, which then became known as the benzene ring because it was a ring. And that may not sound amazing to many of us, but it was amazing to him and it opened up a whole new realm of science. So those are some of the kinds of dreams where people can have creative problem solving. And although those are wonderful and exciting, I think it's more exciting that we have the potential to, through our dreams, to resolve our own problems, our emotional problems, our spiritual problems, our physical problems, rather than the great, amazing ideas that dreams can generate. I think this is just as exciting that we can do that.
What are the limits of dreams?
That's a really good question. Well, time-wise, we have limits on them. The first dream in the night is usually about 5 minutes long. And if you have an 8-hour sleep, the last dream will be about an hour and a half long. So that's the time we spend in dreaming. The limits as to what actually happens in a dream, there are no limits. You know, over this 30 years, I've worked with so many people with their dreams. And each time I sit down with someone on Zoom or in real life, waking up, you know, face to face, I sit down to listen to their dream, I may hear a similar dream theme. I may think, oh, this is a theme about death, or this is a theme about teeth falling out, or whatever it is. But I never, ever hear the same dream twice. Every dream is unique. The details are different. I think there are more possibilities in dreams than there are in this waking reality here, because, hey, you know, elephants can fly in dreams. Things can happen that can't happen here. So there are no limits to what can happen in dreams.
What are some of your most powerful dreams?
Oh, so many. As a child, I had a lot of powerful dreams. And one that really stays with me a lot is I was brought up in England, although I live in Australia, I'm English originally. And I would go down to a field, and there would be a little pond there. And it just looked like a pond with English ducks on it. But I found out that if I laid down beside the pond and I got really low and I put my head on the grass and I looked at eye level at the pond, I could actually see through the whole depth of the pond. And through the pond were beautiful coloured tropical fish, which you don't get in England. The colours were amazing. Everything I could see was amazing. The life was amazing. I was so amazed. And I'll call everyone in the dream, my mum, my dad, everyone, come and look. Look at these wonderful fish. But nobody could ever see it. And it amazed me as a dream. And as an adult, I understand it more and more on many levels. One is that some of the things that I could see and understand about life, other people couldn't see. But more poignantly, I guess, it was about me. It was about these. I have all these wonderful depths, as we all do. I have colours. I have life. And nobody is seeing that in me. See me, see me, see me. Don't wipe me off as just unimportant. So it's those kind of feelings. So that was one of many powerful dreams that I carried as a child without really understanding it until I was adult and able to look back. But I have done amazing things in dreams. I have had, I dance, I fly. I've danced on water, which are amazing feelings. I've obviously had extremely scary dreams as well. Eye-opening dreams. Yeah. And I remember all my dreams every night.
What are some of your scary dreams?
Some of my scariest dreams, as a child, I keep going back to childhood, I guess, because they're the ones that really had the big impact. My scariest dream as a child was a recurring dream. And I was a boy in the dream, not a girl. I was a young boy, and I'd be walking down this long, windy road. And I felt like a shepherd. I think I had sheep or something with me. And I would look up ahead and I would realize that there were a pack of wolves on the top of the cliffs to one side of the road and a pack of wolves on the cliff to the other side of the road. And they would start howling. And it would take me a long time to wake up. So I was in that scary space of the dream. And as a child, I would think things like, which are not true, I would think things like, oh, maybe there's another life where I'm a boy, and maybe there's another life where this is happening, or maybe this is a past life. Maybe I've lived this life before. I went through all those thoughts and feelings. But it's only as an adult now and understanding dreams, I can look back and see that these were my fears of, you know, what was frightening me in life, fear of aggressive people around me and how I would handle that, because we've got the contrast between the little lambs with me, the kind of meek and mild lambs, and these wild wolves. So there was that feeling. But also with the dream, it's really interesting to look at every part of a dream as an aspect of yourself. So I can also see, looking back, that there was a voice in me, like the wolves, that wanted to shout out, that wanted to howl, but had to be silenced, that had to find a voice. And I've probably found that as an adult. I probably speak a lot now.
Let's go over your website a bit. Are you okay with that?
Yes. I've got two websites. One is janetheresa.com. And the other one is the learning platform, which is dream-academy-online.com. I started my first website in 1998. And obviously, it's changed a lot over the years. But basically, just this one here has been around now since 1998, which is quite a long time in the life history of websites.
So can you give a run through?
So here you can obviously go to the homepage. The courses, there's a drop-down box there which describes the various courses that people can do. So, yeah, all the different courses. And there's a big FAQ section that people can go and find out about.
Why are there different levels?
I'm sorry?
Why are they different levels?
So the Dream Therapy Level 1 course is the course that you do when you want to become a dream therapist and use my methods and techniques to help people heal through exploring their dreams. And that is fine enough as it is. But some people like to go to the level two, which is more of a mastering. And in level two is more, well, I should talk about level one first. In level one, you actually go and get two or three volunteer clients of your own, and you practice dream therapy guided by me with those clients. And then you write your results down in a course diary, which I then assess to give the certificate. So it's highly practical to do this dream therapy professional level one course. You do have to have completed the first two courses first. That gives you the grounding information. Then you go to dream therapy professional one to learn how to apply it in real life. Then some people like to go, about half the people that do this course like to go on to the professional level two. And that is more assignment based. So people write assignments based on different specialist areas of dream therapy. And one of the assignments there allows people to pick their own special field of interest. So different people have different areas of dreaming that really interest them. And this enables them to go and do research on their special topic of interest and discuss that with me and write up their results and get a certificate to show that they've studied more deeply. That course also involves mentoring sessions to discuss their work.
Why are there five assignments?
Because that seems like a good number to do. It seems to me it's the amount of work that's involved in this course. It takes a lot to do those five assignments. A lot of those assignments involve, here is your project. Go and get a volunteer client. Do this. Report back on this assignment. So they can be that kind of assignment. So a lot of work involved in those. And then there are also consultations next along on the menu bar. You can see the consultations. So most people go for the first option, which is a consultation by Zoom or by phone. And that lasts an hour. So in that 1 hour, we talk about just one dream. So we've been talking, Jimbo, just sort of little bits about different types of dreams. If you book a dream consultation for 60 minutes by Zoom or by phone, we actually just look at one dream and we go in very, very deep. We really pull it apart, see exactly how it relates to your life, see how it explains your mindset, see how it explains why you're experiencing life in the way that you do. And then we work out a dream alchemy practice to actually create the changes. So it's a very transformative, deep 1 hour. And that's the consultation that most people choose. For people that live in mostly my clients are here, Australia, throughout the US, Canada, throughout some parts of Europe. But for the UK and other parts of Europe, there are times in the dream where I'm asleep and they're awake. And so unless they stay up to like have an appointment at what might be 3 a.m. for them, I have another service where we do this by email. So you send in the whole dream and I work at it by myself. And then I send back my written analysis of the dream using words that are helpful and uplifting to the person. So that's the second one on the list, dream interpretation by email. So those are those. And then next along are my books. I've written a lot of books, as you can see. My most recent one is Bird of Paradise. My first book came out in 1994 and was published by HarperCollins here in Australia. So I've been through five of my books that have been published by the traditional publishing houses. And Bird of Paradise I published myself. And that's been getting a lot of really good and lovely comments and feedback. The Bird of Paradise, you can read Bird of Paradise and absorb lots of tips and techniques to understand dreams in your own life, but it also explores synchronicity and how to interpret and understand and work with synchronicity. But it also includes a lot of little stories about my life. So I've written it in a kind of magical, whimsical kind of way to bring stories from my life and stories from other people and bring synchronicities that have happened to me and mysteries that have happened to me. And it's basically to help people find their own calling and navigate their own life using these things, dreams, mysteries, and alchemy. So that's the book that I have enjoyed writing the most because I wrote it in a different style to my other books. Then I've got the blog. I've been writing the blog since November. It must be an anniversary. Since November 2009, I've been blogging. So there are hundreds of blogs all about dreams and dreaming there. And then the next one along, of course, the podcast, The Dream Show, is, there we go, episode 249 went out this week. So in The Dream Show, what happened?
Blog post.
So on that blog role there, it's included not only the blogs, but also the Dream Show podcast. So there are blogs in that blog role as well. And then the Dream Show, what happens with the Dream Show is that people volunteer to be on the show. And I always say to people, I don't know who they are. They just email me that, you know, you can actually apply to be a guest on the Dream Show. And we work out a time to do it by Skype or by phone. And I always say to people, we're going to arrange this hour to talk, you know, with you as a guest on the Dream Show, but do not tell me your dream. I don't want to know anything about the dream until the moment we start recording the podcast, because the listeners tell me that they really enjoy that feeling of hearing the guest tell their dream at the same time as I'm listening to it. So they're listening, I'm listening, and then they listen to how we, the questions I ask and how we explore the dream. The person remains anonymous. They just go by their first name and where they're from, although some people then say, oh, I'd actually like to tell people what I do. But usually they're anonymous and we spend the whole hour again exploring one dream. That's a slightly different procedure. If people book a Zoom reading with me for an hour, I actually ask them to send me the dream beforehand so I've got time to look at it and analyze before we speak. But we stick to this format, the hearing the dream for the first time on the Dream Show, because it's good listening and people love it. So we have guests from all over the world on that show. And as I say, it's been going since 2009. When we first started podcasting, it was almost before podcasting was a thing, you know. And someone said to me, why is this new thing, podcasting? Why don't you have a go at it? And I said, no, I've got far too much happening in my life. But they were insistent. There was a series of synchronicities. And in the end, I thought, okay, we'll give it a go. And to begin with, we did weekly episodes to build up some, you know, some shows. And then that was too much for me on top of everything else. So we now do every four weeks, we put up a new episode. And it's just at the level that I enjoy it. And I think for my listeners, it's at the right level for them, that only once every 4 weeks they get a deep show to listen to. So yeah, that gives more details about my background. Lots of testimonials there from people about how they find my work. And then the next one, so lots and lots of those. Then the next one along on the menu is the media, because what I haven't mentioned is that I do a lot of TV, national television, as a dream expert, and I do a lot of radio as well, worldwide. So I've been in the media for some 30-odd years doing regular TV and radio, and on that's the page where media contact me. But on that page, I've also got some of my recent TV appearances and radio appearances that people can look at.
Right, very good.
And if you go there, that's fine, we're done.
What else did you want to show?
I was going to take you through to the Dream Academy website from there.
Is there a hyperlink on the website?
Yes, yeah. So if you go back to courses and go right down the bottom, it says the Dream Academy. That links you to the Dream Academy website. That's it. So that basically the only one of interest there is the courses. So under the courses, again, you can go directly through to the courses, and that's where you find out more about them and purchase them if you want to purchase them. If you click that one, just where you are, that takes you through to the store. And so people can go through and pick the courses they want to do. And of course, as you can see there, there's also a free newsletter sign up, and you get all sorts of tips come through to your inbox if you sign up for that as well.
What's AUD?
Australian dollars.
Oh.
Yeah, so obviously the exchange rate changes every day, but I think at the moment 99 Australian dollars is probably around 60 or 70 US dollars. When you buy something and it's not in your currency, it's automatically calculated at your own currency. So, and I have a currency converter on all the pages, so you can actually find out before you buy what it is in your currency.
In the newsletter, what do you usually show on that?
So when people sign up for the newsletter, the first thing they get automatically is an email that gives them a free ebook called Top Dream Tips ebook. So you get some valuable, about 10, not just little tips, actually well-written, substantial tips on how to interpret your dreams for that. And then for the first 10 days, you get an email about every 2 or 3 days, which guides you to different parts of my sites, which are educational. So perhaps to a blog about something that a lot of people ask questions about, or maybe to an episode of the Dream Show that's relevant. So it's giving you additional tools and techniques. And then after that 10 days, you just get an email every 2 weeks. So whenever I post a new blog or I post a new podcast, which is every 2 weeks, either a blog or a podcast, you get a newsletter telling you, hey, it's a blog out, hey, there's a new podcast. And I'll put any other information in that. For example, if I've done a recent TV show and there's a clip of it, I'll put a link to that. So any additional stuff I put in there. So really signing up to the newsletter, the first 10 days is about receiving lots of tips for free that help you. And then after that, it's a way of staying in touch so that when something new comes out, you've got that in your inbox and you can find out about it.
And is the blog the same blog?
No, good question. It's a different one. So every month I write alternatively, either a blog for this website or the other one. The blogs on the other website are more wider ranging, and the blogs on this site are more specifically about dream interpretation and methods. So I have a slightly different approach to both of them. And you can probably, once you get rid of that box, you can probably scroll down and see some of the pictures related to some of the blogs and some of the titles.
The free ebook, which one?
Just click the little black cross at the top corner. Yeah. And then scroll down. So that's some of the recent blogs.
So and it's you really, said free gift ebook. What free ebook is it?
Top Dream Tips ebook. So you get that. That's the same one. You get that when you sign up for the newsletter. So for most people, that's the best place to start, to come to either this site or the other website and sign up for the newsletter. But as you can see, there's some really good titles here, like When You Get Angry with Someone in a Dream. There are lots of a lot of the common questions that people ask, I've answered in this blog here. So lots and lots of reading that people can do, lots of learning.
What do people usually write back to you about?
People will usually ask questions about the courses, and in reality, nearly all the answers are on that FAQ page, which is on the link there. People are only human and tend not to go and read the FAQ page. They just want to talk to you. And I think sometimes people want to ask a question and just make sure that there is a real person, which is me, on the end, reassuring them or answering questions about the courses. But what I don't do on that is interpret dreams. You know, that is a consultation service. I do have to go soon, Jimbo. I have another appointment to go to.
Well, that was a good talk.
It was lovely. Thank you. And thank you too for incorporating looking around the websites there. That's that was a really lovely thing to do, and it helps show people where to go as well.
All right. Well, I am Jimbo Paris, and this is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.